Okay, welcome back, everybody, for another night of learning. This is Mordechai Plotzker, back in Brooklyn, New York. Baruch Hashem came back from Boston. And special thanks to Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, and to Ari Perlman in Staten Island, New York. Tonight's also an auspicious time because, Baruch Hashem, we have Ari Perlman on the radio, and Dub is being interviewed on his fantastic, amazing album, Miracles. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, please reach out to Arye at 718-374-1103. And also, just a brief shout-out to Jake Wyman has asked me to request that Baruch Hashem, the shiur has grown tremendously. And if anybody would like to contribute toward the shiur, they should please reach out to shiurenjoyment@gmail.com. Okay. So yesterday we talked about Parsha Shlach, and we mentioned that there's an important lesson to be learned from the Meraglim. That I think I would like to preface this in the form of a conversation I once had with one of my Rebbeim in 10th grade. He said to me, Mordechai, are you going to do well in your Jewish history test tomorrow? And I said to him, Rebbe, I'm going to try my best. He says, Mordechai, don't try, because when you try, you're going to fail. Tell me you're going to do well, and I'll know you're going to do well. The word try is just an opening to someone saying, I tried, but I wasn't able to succeed. When I was getting a ride home tonight in the car service, this car service guy was a Coptic Christian, and he was telling me that his interaction with Jewish people has always been favorable, and there was a business venture, and one of the people was a Jewish person. He said he failed several times at his business, and yet he kept on coming back and reinventing himself, and this Jewish person he was describing never seemed to fail. He always seemed to push forward. He always seemed to not be deterred by failure because he wanted to succeed. And so he opened up a factory, and then he began producing T-shirts, and he became an international sensation. And he became very, very wealthy. And I was thinking, as I was listening to the story, that if we're able to succeed physically, in a sense that we're able to produce or to create vast amounts of wealth because we're not willing to be deterred by failure. And how many times did Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's, fail? He failed countless times until he found the right type of French fries, which was small, thin, crunchy, all these things built into the name, and then McDonald's became a great success story. So sometimes a person has to fail many times in order to succeed. And we have that concept in the Torah. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam refers to sometimes a tzadik falls from grace, and every single time he bounces back. So the same way that the Torah requires that the laning of the Torah every 3 days on Shabbos, and then again on Monday, and then again on Thursday. Why? Because a Jew cannot be without Torah for 3 days. A Jew cannot be without eating for 3 days. Every 3 hours, a person wakes up in the morning, has breakfast, and then 3 hours later, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, he's hungry, he has to get lunch, he has to eat something. And then, you know, later on in the afternoon, he's eating a third time. So he has 3 meals a day. The same way that we satisfy our bodies physically, and that in the sense that we're able to provide for ourselves, for our needs, in order that we can function, the spiritual is no less important, and that also is something that needs to be satiated. So therefore, the Torah requires that every 3 days, much like every 3 hours, we have to be at least opening up to hear the words of Torah if we're not simply learning all the time. And is it possible for someone to be learning 24/7? Perhaps you can say that's impossible. How is a person supposed to be learning 24/7? But the answer is that a person has to be thinking in Torah. He has to be involved in Torah. He has to see the majesty of Torah in his life, and he has to be able to apply it in a secular frame wherever he finds himself. What would be the Torah's response to this, and how should I approach it from a Torah perspective? And so when the spies were sent out to tour the land of Eretz Yisrael, they had this tremendous opportunity to see past all of the Gashmias, to see the Netzotzos HaKadoshim that lying dormant within the land of Eretz Yisrael, and to see to it that they raise that Netzotzos HaKadoshim, that they raise these dormant sparks of energy. And when they can, and when they do raise those dormant sparks of energy, they own the land. And this is what we talked about with the Kedushas Levi. that the land was refreshed with the presence of Klal Yisrael. Beforehand, it had been subjected to idolatry, immorality, corruption, and now Klal Yisrael walking through with so to speak, the hand of Hashem was guiding them forward, and yet they fell to terrible depths because they failed to see through and to see past these tremendous things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had placed before them. The miracle was that they were spies, and the same way that it's brought down from the rough that in Shlach we use the word lasur, S-R, to tour the land. And this word is no different than what Yosef had used similar words when he accused his brothers of being spies. It says, "Vayomalim raglam atem lerosas ervas aras pasan." You came as spies just to see the land itself. And yet, we see here that the spies' mission was not a military nature, but rather that of just the tour to gather information about the natural inhabitants of Eretz Canaan, the climate, the topography, the conditions, the economy. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the infrastructure while they were touring the land that the people should be distracted. So you can look at things on two different sides, like the psychologist who says, is a glass half full or is a glass half empty? And so you can say that because there were so many deaths that were occurring while the Jewish people were present at that specific time, and yet everybody came out to bid their last farewell to these individuals, the fact that so many people came out to bid farewell to these recently deceased individuals showed that it was very uncommon to have these deaths occurring in the land. Clearly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating something. He was seeking to distract the inhabitants of the land from the presence of these spies. And so on the one hand, you can say, look, the land is filled with all of these funerals. It's Eretz Ocheles es Yoshveh. It's a land that's consuming the very people that inhabit it at this time. At the same time, you can say, no, from the positive perspective, you can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the right type of distraction so that we can freely tour the land and benefit from experiencing the land in its full context. You can look at the grapes and say, oh, these grapes are very unusual. They're so large. This land is just abnormal. And then you can also say, look, this land provides such sustenance that everyone is benefiting from. I heard on the Torah tape from Rabbi Eli Mansour where he talks about the fact that right now in the Galil where people are harvesting grapes, everybody seems to be doing so well. In fact, Israeli wines they're competing with French wines. They're competing on the European landscape. And, you know, one competitor goes to someone else's farm in the Galil near Maron and in the north, in the further north, and, you know, aren't you concerned about your competition? He says, no, because anybody who plants anything, the climate is so good and all the different components that are needed in order to grow this harvest and produce this delicious wine, it's just there. All you got to do, you got to be real talented to mess things up, and it just seems to produce beautiful, beautiful wine. And so everyone's flourishing in that regard. Everyone's benefiting. So you can say that the grapes are very unusual, and that's a detriment to the land. But you can also say that the grapes are so unusual, and this is a quality that we seek to build upon. So because of this failure of self, we're not able to see past our own strengths. We're able to look only at the confusion as opposed to the confidence, and only at things that take away or can be viewed as weaknesses instead of looking at them as strengths. This is not a Jewish component. This is not, even if we go back to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matat Sekulai, Deber B'nei Yisrael V'Yiso. Now's not a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell over to the Jewish people, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Now you got to start moving. Now's not a time to stand still and start complaining. Now you have to move forward, because the only way that I can create Kriyas Yamsuf, which is going to be Zeich Litzias and Shrine, we say it every single Friday night. It's part of our vernacular. It's something that every Jew knows. The only way in order for that to happen is if people start moving. So the most terrible thing that it can happen to a Jewish person is when he becomes lazy, indolent, and he becomes consumed with his problems, and he says, I can't go on. This is a very difficult matter, because the only way for us to succeed through the generations and how we've been able to flourish through those generations is to look adversity in the eye and say, Emet Hashem, God willing, I will overcome this. And so if a person does not see that he has that strength, this is the greatest detriment to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael needs to be infused with people that are invigorated and people that see past these instances of where there could be a chemical imbalance where someone is saying, I cannot continue. No, you can continue. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts you in a situation, and the only reason why you're in this particular test is because Hashem knows that you can pass it with flying colors. And if we look at life in this way, where we say that we're going to seize the day, and that we say that we're going to wake up a lion to seize the Skabe Ka'ari, Lama Baboker, in order to serve the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if a person doesn't care if someone will say, oh, look at these Jewish people, they get up at 5 in the morning to daven, or 6 o'clock in the morning to daven and go to shul. How strange is that? They go to Daf Yomi and they do all these things. No, this is the composite of a Jewish person, that we can't sit still. We constantly are on the go. We're moving toward the next minyan. We're thinking about the next month. We're thinking about the next daf. And we're thinking about, you know, tomorrow night is Shabbos, and we're preparing already. We're buying beautiful food tonight and in order to enhance the Shabbos table. And we're bringing in Divrei Torah. And we're always forward-looking. And when we are forward-looking and we're not looking back, v'haya, that's when success occurs. Vayihi, when we look at the past, that's a lashon tzara. Vayihi b'imei Achashverosh, we look back. Those are times, explain Chazal, when we're not moving forward, we're thinking about the past, and we're living too far in the past, we're not thinking about the future. That's a lashon tzara. That's sad, because the person's consumed. Do you remember 2 weeks ago I did an avera? I can't seem to move past it. Move past it. Say vidoy. Say something. Say tehillim. You know, start fresh now. Start fresh tomorrow morning. Start fresh the next day. You're going to start the new daf. You're going to learn the darim now. And you're going to learn the parsha a little bit stronger. You're going to attend shir on Shabbos, perhaps. You're going to attend daf yomi for the first time in a long time. And you're going to be invigorated, and you're going to feel strengthened as a result. And this is the composite. This is what we need to instill in our youth. This is what we need to instill in each and every single one of us, that despite our age, we could be 10 years old, we could be 90 years old, it could be all the gamut listening into this year, just be invigorated and be strengthened and put a smile on your face and leap forward into tomorrow with vigor and enthusiasm in order to fulfill the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you Hatzlacha and Bracha and a wonderful Shabbos. God willing, we will continue this discussion on Parshas Shlach, God willing, on Sunday evening, 9:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Special thanks again to Arya Perlman and, of course, to Jake Wattman in Denver, Colorado. And please reach out to Jake at shearenjoyment.com if you'd like to be part of the sponsoring effort. Thank you.